Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm at a mix between whether to speak Spanish or English because I'm still bringing the show live all the way from Tijuana, Mexico. It's great to be with you all this evening, and let me tell you, we're looking forward to having an exciting time this evening. Last week, we had a fantastic time here all the way from San Diego. I'm sorry, Tijuana. I travel into San Diego every day. That's why you may hear me say that. So it's great to be with you once again, and I want to say to my listening audience out there, I'm so happy to have you all to be so faithful to this radio broadcast. So thanks for joining us, and I'm going to ask, I'm going to go ahead and bring my co-host in early tonight because what I want to do is I want to have her go ahead and introduce herself. This is Miss Lisa, and have her just say a few things and tell us about herself to anyone that may be listening for the first time tonight. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You want to call in, and the number is 347-857-1769. Of course, if you choose to listen via Internet, you can simply go to drjwalker.com. Once again, drjwalker.com, and tune in. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. All right, let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Miss Lisa. Miss Lisa, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the folks a little bit about you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm coming live to you from Las Vegas, hot Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm looking forward to our topic today, and I hope everyone will be engaged and enjoy the discussion as well.
Thank you for that.
We're so grateful for that. Thank you so very much for that. I'm here in Mexico, and I just got an interrupted call. So, we're back now live with you. Okay, so Ms. Lisa, it's so good to have you with us this evening, and thank you for that. Tonight's topic is, are you a true helpmate in your relationship? Ms. Lisa, why don't you start out by telling us what you think a true helpmate is?
Well, first of all, the definition of a true helpmate is that you're a companion and a helper. So those are two of the things that you have to examine to determine whether or not you are a true helpmate, whether you're a good companion and whether you're a good helper. And that doesn't mean just because you're a companion or a helper that you're someone's doormat. That's not what it means. It means that you're there to give insight, to work alongside your companion. So that's my outlook on what a helpmate
is. Right. Okay, that's fine. I tend to agree with that, but you're not a doormat. And helpmate means an equal. And in your opinion, like I feel, helpmate doesn't just mean the woman is demands helpmate, and maybe I'm getting it wrong, but I think it applies to both parties. They got to be each other's helpmate. How do you feel about that?
I do believe that they do have to be each other's helpmate, but in regards to more so a husband and wife, the woman is supposed to be considered the husband's helpmate.
Right, right. So now, but I know, and that's what the Bible says, that God said it was not good for the man to be alone. I will make him an helpmate suitable for his need. So does that mean that only the woman should be the man's helpmeet or helpmate, and that he shouldn't be her helpmate? I mean, we're not trying to go in and put words in God's mouth, but I want us to be able to clearly interpret this. Does that only apply to the woman? I don't think it does, but again, I may get it wrong. I think it applies to both individuals.
I don't think it completely applies to the woman. I mean, but it's not the woman in a relationship as far as husband and wife. It's not for the woman to shoulder most of responsibility. It's to help with the responsibilities of a marriage.
Okay. All right. I agree with that. All right, let's look at some factors, and just before we go to tonight's story, let's look at some factors of what a helpmate actually is. Let's say that I'm, a couple's married, and the guy is always the one taking out the garbage. Should his wife be part of that helpmate and just take out the garbage if he's even home and he's healthy enough to take out that garbage? Is that what that means? What does that mean?
If we're both working, then we should both be sharing in the responsibilities. It doesn't mean that the man always has to take out the garbage. It doesn't mean that the wife always has to cook. It doesn't mean that the wife should always do all the cleaning. It means that we're a collaborative effort.
Okay, all right. That's good. But how about, and we got an upcoming show about role playing, in relationships and marriages. And I think that there are roles, even when it comes to true helpmate in your relationship, there are roles that people can elect to play, or roles that people can elect to do in their relationships. And, for example, I mean, if the man is there, I see no problem with him being healthy enough to take out that garbage every day. It doesn't necessarily make him the garbage man, but, if to his wife he's the garbage man and she doesn't mean that in a demeaning way, then you know what, he can take it out. And of course, if there are some times when he's not, he may have forgotten or something, then there's nothing wrong with her taking that garbage out. But I do believe that there are roles that people play, even being helpmates. There may be an expectancy for that man to maybe take out that garbage and things like that to take place. Or he may go and have his wife's vehicle washed, on occasion, and she may cook him a special meal or buy a special meal, or he may buy her a special meal, or if he can cook, he may cook her a dinner. So I agree with you. I think that it tends to go both ways, that it's a collaboration, that they can help each other. But I do believe with that, there are certain roles that are, I hate to use the word expected, because some people may find offense to that, but, for the lack of a better word, there are roles that people are expected to play when it comes to help me. And as long as you can, I think going into a marriage or a relationship, I think that those roles probably should be clearly identified. What role are you going to take? What role are you going to play? Not just assumed, because I think that the assuming part can be detrimental. What do you think about any of this that I've said? I mean, the role playing that may be expected. What do you think about that, Ms. Lisa?
I do believe that there are roles in a relationship, and that those cards need to be laid out on the table before we get into cohabitating together or being married or have a significant other or a husband or a wife. Those were things that should be discussed up front. And, I mean, and as quite naturally, a man is usually the head, the lead. So, I mean, as a helpmate, like you said, there are roles. So that's something that needs to be discussed up front, because especially if two people work, I think that it's important that we have an understanding. Just because you're the man and I'm the woman, that doesn't mean that you don't help in the house, because both of us are working.
Right. Okay, we'll get to the story in about 2 or 3 minutes. So those roles that are expected to be played in that relationship becomes a vital thing. So I do believe in that, and I'm happy that you mentioned some of this as well. All right, a helpmate. So let's go back to the origin just for a second of when God said that, and we don't know, nobody can be in God's mind, but when he said it's not good, and referring to Adam, it's not good that the man should be alone, because Adam was alone, and we don't know how much time Adam spent alone by himself. We have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know that Adam was alone before Eve came. Why do you think? But he had animals that were not on his level. Why do you think God would even say that?
Because he knew he required someone in his life to be a part of his life. And Adam was created first. And if we follow the Bible, the proper way of things is Christ, man, and then the woman.
Right. But do you think that some women could possibly feel inferior to that, that when Christ, when, you know, Christ being the head, and we're talking head of the household, and then comes the man and then the woman, do you think that some women could feel offended to that, that the man is, you know, for lack of a better word, falls, you know, in line to Christ as next, as opposed to it being, you know, an equal Christ, the woman and the man, or the man and the woman, the equilibrium there?
Well, I don't think that there should be. If you're secure within your womanhood, there shouldn't be an issue with that, because you have to remember that you're an intelligent being in your own right, and that you're there to assist your husband, because remember, women can be very detailed, and sometimes we see things that you don't even see. You see pieces of the puzzle, but we'll see the whole picture. So, I mean,
well,
as a woman, you should feel comfortable with your intelligence in your own right.
Right. You know, I'm here. I can tell you for certain that I'm here in Mexico, and I'm with a group of people here. There are a lot of couples here, and, you know, we're gathered around here, and we're, you know, various people attend various conferences here. And I've interviewed a number of these people here, you know, that have their spouses with them or their significant other. And, you know, when they go in through an interview process, the couples are in there. And oftentimes one of my first questions is, why does it take two people to go in there for this interview process? And what they say is, oftentimes a woman will say, well, usually I can pick up on things that my spouse or my significant other didn't pick up on. And the men that I've interviewed, they tend to agree with that. And I would say the same thing, that women are able to pick up on things that sometimes men are not able to pick up on. And vice versa, you know. But women, I agree with you, women are quite detailed. And I think that it's so important. And I can see, me personally, I can see why God would say, I believe why God would say that it's not good that the man should be alone. He needed someone that he could communicate with. He needed someone that could be, to walk with him, to share thoughts and things with, because God gave the man a big charge, you know, to take care of the earth. And, you know, he see all animals. I imagine Adam see all these animals. He don't know what in the world is going on. And so now with all of these animals, you know, there's one thing, and then he says, all right, it's time now that the man. But I think that there was a void with Adam. Now, remember, he's got God there, but that didn't complete everything for the man. And God allowed him to be alone for a while. This is my take on that. Allowed him to be alone for a while to see that there was something missing. There was something missing that made him feel incomplete. And so it wasn't until, I believe, Eve came along, and that's why he said, now this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So I think, I even believe that when men have the right woman in their lives, it makes them feel complete. Well, a lot of times we're running into this independent thing, and I would like you to address this, Ms. Lisa, if you would. Give me your take on it. We run into this independent thing where men feel that they're so independent they don't need a woman. And women, on the other hand, are demonstrating some of the same or expressing some of the same thoughts. Well, I don't really need a man. It's the man who needs the woman. I don't need a man. I disagree with both of those. I think that they need each other. Somewhere along the way,
hello? Hello?
Yeah, we're sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but we got a phone drop, so we're back. Ms. Lisa, we're going to bring you in. Give me your take on that particular part. And if we go out again, it's because the lines across San Mexico. And then, Ms. Lisa, you go ahead and just pick up where I might fall short.
Okay, well, my opinion in regards to people being independent, I agree with what you were saying, that we nowadays have this independent spirit, and people believe I don't need a wife or I don't need a man or I don't need a companion in my life. Well, that's not so, because from the beginning, that was why God did create Adam, and then God did create Eve so that they had each other. So, yes, I do believe that independent spirit is something that has gotten us away from the nature of things the way they should be.
Okay, all right. So what do you think causes a great deal of this independence? What do you think causes that?
Independent spirits and people have become selfish and we've veered away from what should be.
Okay, I tend to agree with that. You know, and then sometimes it's where some women perhaps have had to step up for that very reason. They've had to step up because maybe the man was falling short in what his role was, his responsibilities were. And so this has caused some women to have to step up and take on that added role. And then, of course, there's always on the other hand, too, the men run across these women sometimes who have played these dual roles, and it's made them tougher. So now a man comes along and he meets a woman and she starts out and they're both really nice to each other. But because they both have had to play dual roles and that wasn't what they intended to do, they now find themselves being in a situation where they're kind of going at each other because it's almost like an androgynistic role type where he's been male and female and she's been male and female, not literally, but androgynistically. And so now they don't know how to mash together. They just don't know because, you know, they've had to play these roles. And then you find that they're antagonistic towards each other instead of finding a way to go back to operate within their own areas, their own communities. And what I mean communities is operate within that manhood. That man needs to go back and probably relearn how to operate in that masculinity component. And she needs to go back and relearn. And it's not far. It should be a natural thing. Relearn to operate within the confines of ladyhood, womanhood, and that sort of thing. And it doesn't mean that you become doormats in either area. And I think to get there, honestly speaking, I think to get there, Ms. Lisa, requires you to look at the Word of God and the alignment, His instructions, because His instructions aren't wrong by no stretch of the imagination. His instructions will not be wrong. So I think that that's what needs to be done. You got to go back and take a look at that. Give me your thoughts on that. How can they get back to within their own and operate within their own roles, in your opinion?
Well, as you stated, getting back to knowing God and His purposes for us is the most important thing in order for us to have understanding of roles in a relationship, in a marriage. So once we have an understanding of what is required from us from God, then it'll make it easier to step back into the roles as they should be.
All right. So does that, in your opinion, do those roles mean, as a man, you say God, then man, then the woman. Do those roles mean that if the man being the head of the house, he makes a suggestion that the wife wants to do a certain thing and the husband is not comfortable with that, does it mean that she should not do that thing? Is that what that means? Give me your take on it, then I'm going to give you my take on that.
Well, I don't think it means just because you're the husband and I'm the wife and you say no. I think that we should be able to have an adult conversation about whatever it is. Maybe it's something he might want to do, or maybe, like you said in the beginning, something she wants to do, and come to an agreement about it. Not just say, like, I'm a child and you're my daddy, and you say, because I say so. That is not the purpose of the relationship between a husband and wife. He's not my daddy. I'm not his child. We're husband and wife. And so, therefore, it needs to be an adult discussion about whatever decisions are going to be made.
Right. Okay, so now my question becomes, and I agree with you there. So, but if we're going to look at that, and we got to get to the story in a minute, but if we're going to look at that, then let me ask you this question. Then what makes the man the head? Then, you know, what makes the man the head? The head of what? When we say the head of the house, then what's the expectation of him to be the head? What capacity does the head serve?
Well, God gave direction and responsibility to the husband. And along with insight from his helpmate to raise a family, have children, and he's our maker, so who better than to give direction and say, this is the way you should follow and this is the way you should go in your marriage.
Right. Okay, so then, again, I'm going back here. If he's the head, he's the head of what? Is he the head of the wife? And I agree with you. I want to go back and give my take. That doesn't mean that she's a child, and it doesn't mean that she should be treated like a child, and vice versa. He shouldn't be treated as a child either. I think a lot of it is respect, and I think that man who really is a godly man would have that respect for his wife, where he brings her in to his communications with her to explain, you know, to share with her, you know, what things, you know, what they're going on with. He needs to take charge of a lot of things, but I also believe that the woman can take charge of a lot of things also. And when it comes to maybe some of the final decisions, you know, the man can, you know, he can step up to that plate And if the wife doesn't agree, I think that that's when maybe they petition God through prayer and ask for his blessings. Or they can decide that, listen, let's try it your way this time. And then if it doesn't work, we'll try it my way. You know, make it kind of, that man as the head, I think that serves as that protector, you know, to look out for that woman. I think that, that's what I want to kind of say, to look out for her, you know, her best interest. And she, by nature, look out for his best interest. You know, partners, helpmates, you know, team players. This is my ride or die chick or my ride or die boy. You know, that's what I think that a lot of that has to do with. Are you listening live to Dr. Jess Walker Show? Let's just go to the story right now. We're going to go through it quickly because we're about several minutes outside of bringing the show to a close. We're going to go to the story. Are you a true helpmate in your relationship? Now, tonight's characters are Samantha and Terry. Samantha and Terry have been together for 6 years. They're contemplating marriage, but they're afraid that it may not work out because a number of their friends are getting divorced. Now, when they sit around and listen to stories from their divorced friends, they find that most of the problems that those friends have had stem from not being equally yoked or true helpmates to each other. Now, the stories they have heard seem to have couples not acting as they're acting as individuals, as opposed to being a couple united as one. And we all know that, you know, people are individuals. They have the individuality. But in this case, Samantha and Terry, they are finding that their friends who got divorced, part of the reason they're getting divorced is because they act as individuals, meaning they're selfish in and of themselves, as opposed to having communications as a couple united as one. The man in the relationship is often doing his own thing, and so is the woman, which makes them wonder, why would anyone in their right mind get married in the first place? Now, here's some of the things that they hear about a married couple, which is alarming to them. Now, they're hearing these stories, and some of these stories include the following. Neither couple remember anything about the vows they took, except till death do you part, which nobody honors anyway. And see, we had a show on that one not too long ago. Did anybody remember their wedding vow? And that's probably the only one that people remember, but they don't honor that. If somebody gets on the other one's nerves long enough, they're not looking at those vows. They don't remember anything in those vows. And they accept that probably one thing, maybe one or two other things, but they don't honor those. They do not honor those. They're ready to throw in the towel. And number two, the woman often if she becomes sick or the man becomes sick, the man shows little concern. One party will show little concern as if they don't even care. You know, and that is a big mistake to me. When you're showing signs that you just don't really seem to care about your significant other, and see, that's one of those dials, for better or for worse. You know, and then number three here, they spend more time on their electronic devices than actually talking with each other. That's become a big thing. These are some of the things that these people are pointing out. They seem to know, number four, they seem to know very little about each other. They really don't know each other because they don't spend the time talking, getting to know each other, and failing to realize that people are still developing. They're still developing, going through a developmental stage. Just like our bodies are constantly changing, and we're not even aware that our bodies are changing because it's developing. And number five, they don't really do things together as a couple. That's a big one. Number six, they are more inclined to engage with their family or friends than with each other. They're just not stuck on each other. Number seven, they find themselves usually being selfish, usually doing everything around the house. Like a woman, she might do all of the things around the house, and she feels like she's single, as if she has no help from the man. And that usually falls within what some of the men do. More men do that, I would think, than women. The woman seems to keep it. She's the cohesiveness. She seems to keep it together at the house, and I think it's only fair that the man takes part in that. The man does not have her as his ride or die chick. He feels like, you know what, this isn't my ride or die chick. This is not my ride or die woman. And I don't mean to say chick in terms of demeaning to a woman, no more than I say that this is not her ride and die boy to be demeaning to a man. That's not what I'm saying. It's just they're soldiers in this war of life together. And, you know, hey, if you're going to be there, I'm going to be there. You know, number nine, they're not team players. That's what we're talking about. They're not team players. She's got her team. He's got his team. And they're not coming together to act as team players. Number 10, they're not there for each other's intrinsic needs. And people don't realize the importance of meeting that your significant other's intrinsic needs. And when you don't meet those needs, they find a way to have those needs met. Otherwise, they go in separate directions. All right, the list goes on, and couples are simply not showing signs of being a true helpmate. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Are you a true helpmate in your relationship? So I said a lot here, Ms. Lisa, and, I mean, it is what it is. And so when you look at that, let me ask you about this couple, Samantha here, and her and her man, Terry. Would you think that since they've heard these stories from their friend, do you think that they should get married?
I think they should examine some of the things that were said, but I don't think that should determine whether or not they should get married.
You don't think that should determine? I agree with you. I agree with you. Now, they've been together 6 years. It seems to be working. But they're hearing all these stories. If you heard all of these stories and say you're not married, would that kind of deter you from wanting to get married? I mean, it would me.
No.
It would scare the daylight out of me.
No, because then, I mean, not every marriage is the same, and not every marriage has the same issues. I know some people who met each other, and a week later they were married, and now they've been married 25 years.
Yes.
So, I mean, who is to say, you know, the only way you'll know is if you try.
Yes, I'm sorry. Once again, we went out, and we apologize for that. Again, the phone drops here live in Mexico. So, Ms. Lisa, you were speaking, and thank you all for the notification. Go ahead, Ms. Lisa. Continue. It cut short when I went out.
I just said that there's many different reasons why marriages don't work, and there's many different reasons why marriages do. Some people, like I said, I know a couple who met a week later, they got married, and they've been married 25 years. So,
okay.
I mean, you can't base your relationship off of other people's experiences.
And I agree with you. I met a couple today who have been married for 50 years. And as I interviewed this couple, I was absolutely amazed to see that they could almost recite each other's thoughts. And the way this woman looks at her husband as I interviewed them, it's as if she's looking at him, and of course I wasn't there 50 years ago when they got married, but she looks at him and she looks after him as if that's her soulmate. And she looks in his eyes as if maybe it's the first time she's looking in the eyes of a man that she's in love with. And as he looked at her, pretty much the same identical thing. You know, he even brushed her hair back when a piece was falling over. And just looking at her so intensely as if, you know what, this is the woman. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And as he looked at her, when the three of us are sitting there interviewing, and he's like, this is my world. This is my world. And, I mean, they had some bags with them that they were packing, and he went into her bag, and she was going in his bag, and they were balancing out the bags. And he made sure that he pulled, because they had to walk a distance, he said, and they were going across the border. So, he wanted to make sure that he was carrying the bulk of the load, which is understandable. And she made sure that his load was not too heavy. And that, to me, they represented. And I don't know how they are in private, but I do know this. For 50 years of marriage, they had to have been doing something, and that something must work, have worked for 50 years of marriage. And they look really good together. I wouldn't think that those people are even, I would think that they're only maybe 60 years of age, the way that they look. They speak softly to each other, and they speak with love. And I was just amazed at a couple that's been married. And I had to ask them, how long have you been married? And they said 50 years, twice they told me. And I mean, it was so important. It was just beautiful. So this is what I'm thinking as they go along. Okay, so that's what I was looking at. So, Miss, go ahead and give me your thoughts on that. And I got to step away just for a second. But, Miss Lisa, go ahead and give me your thoughts on that, please. Okay?
Give you my thoughts on in regards. Yes, I'm here.
In regards to that love and that relationship. Give me your thoughts on that, please.
I believe that people who have been married for 50 years or 20 or 30 or 40, however long it may be, yes, it does take that love and commitment to withstand that test of time. And also it takes being there in it and continuing that love between the two of you.
Yeah, so I think that is so important, what you're saying here. I think that becomes so important. So you're right. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Ms. Leacher? Okay.
Yes,
you're
I'm
right.
Here.
Yeah, that becomes so important. Yeah, so that becomes so important that we have to deal with. So I think it becomes vitally important that when we look at relationships and realize that relationships are important and that you have to have someone that's close to you for that to be meaningful. You understand? So just express a few thoughts. Give me about a minute, Ms. Lisa, and you go ahead and you just take over for me and talk about what you think a helpmate in a relationship is supposed to be doing.
Hello, all. Well, you've heard the commentary between both me and Dr. Walker and points that we made about being a helpmate. And please chime in and let us know what your thoughts are on being a helpmate, because it is important that we understand our roles in a relationship and also know the importance of what is best for our families and also the responsibilities that are shouldered by the husband and the wife in their roles.
Yeah. So there you have that. So I tell you what, there we've got a something going on over here, and I'm going to have to attend to. But before I do that, let me just look at this here, and we'll probably end up closing the show a little earlier tonight. When a couple remembers anything about the vows they took, let's take a look at some of these things that we were addressing. And for Samantha and Terry, when you talk about neither one of these couples, they were talking about their friends that don't remember the wedding vows, right? And then if a woman becomes sick, I mean, this is important. Don't you think so?
Yes, hello? I agree with you. It is. Yes. Are you? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it becomes. Yeah, I can hear you now. This becomes vitally important because if a person is having these issues, if somebody is sick, your significant other is sick, I mean, that's, you got to be there with them. And then they spend more time on the electronic device. I'm not going to even address that one because, you know, I think we're training the world now. When you look at these children, I think that we're showing that these children are on these machines, and it's as if they're, you know, they're not even, the parents are just creating robots and their children. And so that's going to be a problem later in life when it comes to relationships, unless everybody in the relationship is doing the same thing, so it becomes a norm perhaps. Do you think that that's detrimental to the future of relationships?
Yes, because it creates a lack of socialization between a family. That is why when I have dinner, the phone is not at the table with me. The phone is put away. That is why when I go out and enjoy company of other people, friends, family, while we're eating, again, the phone is put away. We're getting away from that natural socialization between ourselves and our family and our friends.
Right. How about the part where they're not doing things together, you know, as a couple? I mean, don't you think that that's one of the easiest ways that couples can drift apart? I think so. I mean, when you're not doing things as a couple, sticking together, that's my opinion, that a lot of people say that Adam was with Eve when she partook of the fruit. I think Eve may have wandered off from Adam, and then he came up on her. But by that time, it may have been too late, and then she shared it with him. And we don't know because we weren't there, and different people have different interpretations. But I do believe that, you know, when you're not spending that good quality time together, you're actually hurting your own relationship. That's just my opinion, you know, and that's the easiest way, I think, for relationships to really fold when you're not spending that quality time. Let's take a look at another one of the issues that your friends were having. They seem to know very little about each other. They just don't know much about each other, you know, because they're not spending that quality time. If you're not doing things together, you know, I mean, it's like, especially in the initial stages of your marriage, that's a partnership. It is so special, your relationship. And if you look now, so many of these relationships are folding. They're just not lasting. And then you find that women are just hanging with each other. You know, what is going on out there, Ms. Lisa? What's going on?
Well, back to the earlier part of the discussion, the independent spirit, and that independent spirit doesn't play a positive role in a relationship.
Okay. All right, so there we have it. Let me just bring another call in just for a second. We'll go to the phone line. We're going to go to 305-300. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're speaking to Dr. Jesse Walker all the way from Mexico. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Hi, this is Michelle. How are you?
Okay, Michelle, thank you for joining us. Michelle, tell us, what is going on that so much is changing that we don't have true helpmates? Men are not being helpmates for the woman is not being a helpmate for the man. What has happened?
All right, give me your meaning of helpmate, though. Give me a meaning. I have something to say, but I want to know what's your meaning.
Tell me what you think a helpmate is. What is a helpmate?
No, you tell me what the meaning is. I want to be good when I answer. So what's the meaning? What's your meaning?
A helpmate. To me, when God said it's not good that the man should be alone, I will create him a helpmate suitable for his needs. That means someone that can help him, that he's there. She's there to assist him in whatever task he's doing. That's within the realm of what God has expectations for the man to do. And it can also be, and I went on a limb and said this here, it can also be where the man is also assisting the woman with things that she may have that has to be done. So I think the helpmate is suitable for each other. It's each other. But I think initially it was designed that the woman would help the man because he was there first. But since now we, and I'm not putting words, you can't put the words in God's mouth, but since that woman has now come along, I think what happens is, you know, you have to take a look and say, well, okay, here's what's happening. They have to help each other. They're helping each other with different things. If he gets home before her, maybe he washes for, you know, he does the wash. And he's not doing it for her. He's doing it for them. You know, she gets home. But we talked about roles early. Yeah, so that's a helpmate, somebody that helps you where all the load is not just on you.
You know what I see in happening now, Dr. Walker, is that people are married and they're in love. They feel like they're in love when they just get married. And people say the longer you're together, the more you love each other. But that's not true all the time. Because sometimes the longer you're with each other, some people, you realize that this person is not as intimate or as sensitive as you are, or not, don't show love the same way, or don't even know how to show love. So it become, now you realize, oh my God, I put up with this for all these years. This man is not to help me to me, or not showing me, doing anything for me. You know, when for years you put up with it, but then you said, it's okay. It's okay because you love each other and you're in love and you might have children involved. But as you spend like 19, 20 years together, you realize that this man is cold as hell. He's cold. He's just cold. Not showing you that much. And you grow apart from him. It become a distant. That's why you see so many divorce nowadays, because they realize that I don't have to put up with this man. I come home, nobody to rub my foot, and I'm working hard. You know, the women, they work hard today. Women work hard today, sometimes even more than the men. And they come home doing 12-hour shifts, and the man don't even show no, you know, like, come, honey, put your legs up here and rub your foot. It's not there. And it's not that he don't love her, but he don't know how to show it. And she sits like, hell, I'm done with this man. I'm done with this nigga. I'm done with this person, whatever, because she wants that. She wants that now, and that they start to grow apart. The love does feel like two different person in the house, two angry person. She cooking. If you want to take dinner, you take the dinner, and everything. You know, I'm speaking of myself, right? So that's what I have to say.
We don't know, but I would tend to agree with you that a lot is going on now that people, for whatever reason, they're not giving it that quality time, and you point out some good things that you realize that the person that you thought maybe you married at one point in time, or the person that you spent a lot of years with as your significant other, you realize that they're not the people that you thought them to be at one point in time for whatever reason. And the question becomes, what do you do about something like that? I'm surprised that a person would take 20 years to discover that, like you mentioned, that this person is cold. You have to see something
It takes that. They notice it. They notice it, but it still takes a while for them to leave the marriage. Because everything is still good. He's working. The bills are being paid. It's just the coldness that people need, especially when you go older with a person. You need that affection. You need that comfort. And it's not there.
See, the thing is, like I mentioned in the story tonight with Samantha and Terry, that's one of the things that we were pointing out. We were pointing out that you cannot just love a person the way you think that you need to love them. And what you're saying now, that the man is paying the bills the woman is working also and she's doing her part. What is happening is you have got to love each other in their language that they like to be loved in. If you're not meeting, as in our story tonight, if those intrinsic needs are not being met, then you know what? There's a void. There is going to be a void, and that void is going to be so deep that it's going to hurt. And one day you're going to wake up. You're going to wake up, and you're going to realize that this void is deeper than I can handle. And you're going to start thinking differently, and you're going to start thinking about what you need to do. let's bring in Ms. Lisa for a second. Ms. Lisa, give us your take on some of this here. Is Michelle here on point with anything that she said?
Yes, she is on point with some of the things that she said. I mean, what you put into something is what you get out of it. So if you're not putting anything into it, eventually that's what's going to happen. You're not going to get anything out of it. And then you're going to feel like Michelle said, what's the point of being here if the other person's not putting anything effort into this?
Yeah, so I think that was vitally important. So if those intrinsic needs are not being met, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to feel like, you know what? I'm in the wrong relationship. This is not right for me. And it's just like the caller just said. Michelle, what are your thoughts on that? How frustrated would that make somebody when their needs are not being met, in your opinion?
Say that again.
How frustrating could that make you when you know that you're not being loved the way that you want to be loved? How frustrating
That is very frustrating to anybody. Very, very frustrating, because you come home and you're looking for that affection, and you come home, you know, as a woman, I'm speaking from the woman's side, you come home, you're here now, you work hard just like her, you come home preparing dinner and all that, and then you're still looking like, oh, who comforted me? Who is doing this for me? It's very frustrating. And then you tend to think, well, should I go look this somewhere else and leave it alone because everything else is good? Should I go out there and have an affair and get the comfort and get my feet rubbed and get my this and still come home and cook your dinner and give you your dinner and you still eat it? You understand? Do I do that? Because that need, that craving in your heart for all that is not coming. And as you get older and you get tired, you feel like you need it. You know, I'm not going to say you want it. You feel like you need it. The crave for it is so bad. It hurts. It hurt. It feel like a rejection from a person who you love for so long. It feel like a rejection. So therefore, you feel like go ahead.
No, go ahead. Continue, and then we'll bring in another call.
I'm finished.
And I can relate. I can understand what you're saying because, you know, you're there, and there's a void, and people sometimes people can't see that void. They can't feel that void. And you try to tell them, and they're not getting it. And then you're wondering if you should go look somewhere else. Well, a lot of people do, and that's not what we're encouraging. That's not what we're encouraging on the show. But I'm saying, if you have that voice, and that's my take on that, is if you're having that voice for so long, you're going to have to make a decision, and you're going to have to just make a decision. And you got to ask yourself the question, do you want to spend another year with that same void? And I've often said this on this show, people do not change overnight. They just don't. They don't change overnight. They don't change overnight. So if you're feeling this void, and like Michelle gave the account of a person who's been married for 19 years or more, and they're feeling this because the person is just absolutely cold, then somewhere along the way, 15 years ago, that person was probably cold. But they didn't want to leave the marriage because they felt that this was the right thing to do. But then if they had left 15 years ago, they probably would have landed with somebody who could love them the way they want to love. Right, Michelle?
Yes, right. That's what I'm saying. But the sad thing about it, sometimes they don't even know that they're cold. They don't even know that. And when you try telling them, what? You're complaining about nothing. It's like it's not a big thing for them. So I'm like, really?
Right.
It's really painful. It is very painful. That's all I know. It's painful.
It is really painful. It is really painful. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let's go to the lines again. Let's go to 863-412. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker. Who do we have on the air with us and welcome? We've got about 5 minutes before we go.
This is Bob. Yeah, this is Dennis. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, I agree with some of the things that have been said, but I like to add a little. Sometimes when you think that you're giving more, you see the other person not doing anything, and you start getting that bad feeling. One of the things that to me is very important is that you, before you get completely into the marriage, during the relationship, a lot of communication, talking, opening up. This is what I like. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to see from you. Good communications, because if you just work on the passion, you know, passion wears out. You know, after the passion, then what? What do you have? You know, and you want to definitely have communication. So,
right. And that's my book. Thank you for that, Dennis. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. And see, and that's what people don't consider in a relationship is that beginning. How you start is how you have to do. What it takes to get a woman or to get a man, you got to keep it. You got to keep doing it to keep them.
No, that's what.
Yeah. Let me stop you there, Dennis, just for a second. Let me bring in a call from North Carolina, 919-272. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. You're live.
Yes, this is Christy. I heard Dennis and I heard the other lady. And definitely communication.
Noise in your background. Sounds like it could be a window open or something.
Can you hear me now?
We're broadcasting all the way from Mexico, so it picks up every sound in the studio. All right, go ahead, Christy.
Okay. And I heard the other lady say, you know, about, then you'll find someone else on the outside. Okay, well, in a relationship, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as husbands and wives, and, you know, somewhere before you start going out seeking outside interest, something must have happened in order for a person to seek outside interest. Because if things are going so well in the relationship, you won't need, unless you're just a person that it just could never be satisfied, okay, whether it's a man or a woman. So it had to, for lose that interest of love or affection or whatever, something must have happened, whether it was verbal abuse or, you know, whatever the case might have been. Something down the line must have happened in order for the person to just not give that affection, whether it was giving it or receiving it. And seeking someone else on the outside, especially of marriage, that is definitely the wrong thing. So people, to me, have to be committed. First, you got to be committed to Christ. And if you're committed to Christ, then you will be committed to your mate.
Well, Christy, I certainly appreciate your comment and all that you had to say. But I'll tell you, yeah, there's one thing to be committed to Christ. But let me tell you something. People, human elements are playing a tremendous role in this right now. And when you're falling short of feeling that compassion with your significant other, I'm telling you now, sometimes, I mean, that human role is very powerful. And what starts to happen is people will start to look at outside interest. And even if they don't, let me tell you something, it becomes a tough struggle. But let me go back and address something that you said, and that was that you were saying that something must have happened. Not in all cases. Sometimes people can fake situations. They can fake their feelings towards you for an alternative motive. Or they have an ulterior motive. And, yeah, they have ulterior motives for one reason or other. And so what happens is, with these ulterior motives, when they get you, then the true person comes out. Let me go to Michelle for a second. Ms. Lisa, you're still there. I know you all are going to close the show in a couple of minutes. Michelle, do you think that sometimes people have alternatives?
No, I don't think something – she said something must have happened. You see, but that's not true.
Yeah.
Something don't have to happen.
No.
The person
no,
just
it doesn't. It really
relaxed
doesn't. That's
in the
I'm
marriage. As
to.
I said, the marriage is good. He's relaxed in the marriage. And he, like, this is not important. But maybe this person was like this all along. This person was infectionate all along. For 20 years, he wasn't. You understand? But now, it starts to take effect on me.
Michelle, the question becomes, why would a person marry that person? If they know that they're affectionate, and you married a person that wasn't affectionate, I mean, you saw that before marriage. Why would you marry them?
Love. No,
you know,
it's love. Two persons don't have to be the exact alike to get married.
No, I agree.
They don't have to be exactly alike to get married. You understand?
Right.
Love.
Right.
I love him, and he claims he loves me. But then some people is affectionate and some is not. You understand? And you put up with a lot of things because you're married and you have children and you want the best. And there is nothing else wrong with a man. But as you get older in the marriage, I'm like, damn, it's about time you start showing some affection. Look hard. Look at all what I've done. You understand? That's when it starts to hurt. You want this person to get it in their head. And maybe they'll never get it. You don't have to do no verbal abuse, nothing like that. It's just the person themselves, and it's just you.
That's the person themselves, and I agree with that. Sometimes that's intrinsic. That's who they are. That's who they are. We're out of time. Michelle, we want to thank you, Christy, Dennis. I got to give a last word to my co-host, Miss Lisa. Give us a final word on, are you a true helpmate in your relationship? Give us a final word.
The final word is that we have to examine ourselves and know our roles.
There you go. I think that that's saying a mouthful right there. Listen, we're out of time all
that.
Over from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to bring the show back to you live from Florida next Thursday. Listen, join us tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass that, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. All the way from Mexico, we're saying thank you to all of my listeners tonight around the world. And I say to all my listening audience, join us tomorrow or next week from Florida. Mexico has been real nice. Aloha. And then hola, I should say. That's Hawaii. And we'll be broadcasting from there in the upcoming month. But join us tomorrow, join us next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, so long from Mexico. Thank
I'm
you.
On the phone.
Good night. Thank you. And thank you, God. Have a good evening, everybody.
Okay.